only Sam Beard. As we get you rolling here on this Tuesday morning, we get you through to your lunch break here on the bye week. Yesterday, it didn't really set in that it's the bye week, just because I was still so focused on the weekend. Today, it's really starting to click, like, hey, Tennessee doesn't play this week. And there's part of you that's like, hey, that's cool that, you know, you don't have to stress for a weekend. It's cool that you're sitting there at number eight with the chance to just have some teams in front of you lose. And you know, you can't really go anywhere. You get to stay in the top 10 for 2 weeks. That's neat. It's neat that Cedric Tillman is banged up and gets an extra week to prepare for LSU. That even Hendon Hooker was noticeably wincing in the fourth quarter. You know, that he gets some extra time to rest. Like, all those things are good, but I just the lack of patience in me really just can't stand a bye week. But that's starting to set in. We're already a third of the way through the season.
That's crazy.
That's pretty sad.
Unless I am doing my math wrong.
No, you're right.
No, yeah,
that's third of the way through the regular season.
Yeah.
We got a long ways to go after that.
Yeah, we do.
Isn't it crazy how fast it goes, though? It's weird how fast.
Well, I mean, it's just because you spend, what, 8 months, 7 months a year just waiting for football? Like, yeah, I mean, I enjoy everything else that goes on throughout the year, too, but it's just like, man, football. And then it's here, and then it's just the first half of every week, you're thinking about what happened, and the second half of every week, you're thinking about what's going to happen, and then all of a sudden, the weeks just start rolling, they start flying by. I mean, like high school football, they're more than halfway
through. They're almost
through.
Done, yeah.
They're more than halfway through. Like,
I didn't start early.
I didn't think about that, too, until I was leaving Morristown Friday night. I was like,
like 1 month left of the regular season.
4-2, that's six games. There are only four left. How about
that? That is crazy.
Man, what a terrible way to start a Tuesday by just talking about how fast football season is leaving.
Very morbid,
yeah.
Very morbid.
Sorry, guys.
What else are we going to do, though?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Congratulate Andy Brock on a 2-1 Cowboys start.
Cooper How about
Rush,
that?
The truth.
He's 3-0. 3-0 is a starter.
Did you see, what was it, Skip? Skip Bayless?
Oh, I'm sure he's all over the Cooper Rush trade.
He tweeted out a video just.
Oh, no. About what? Trying to keep.
America's sleeping on Cooper Rush.
Oh, no. Well, of course they are. Like, what?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Hype him up? He hasn't done, like, he hasn't proven himself still. I mean,
I feel like Jerry Jones is low-key trying to start a QB controversy.
What is going on? Yeah, so last week, or whenever that was, I was a little bit outraged. We didn't get to talk about that. But the fact that they're trying to make this a quarterback controversy is unreal. I get Cooper Rush is playing really good, but you don't have to do this to yourself. You don't have to go out there and say, like, there's no controversy. That in itself is making a controversy. When you've paid Dak Prescott all this money, of course you're going to play him. What do you mean? There's not going to be a quarterback battle.
But it's really funny.
But it is funny.
It
is really,
really funny to me.
Hey, there's only three unbeaten starting quarterbacks in the league. Cooper Rush, Tua, and Jalen Hurts. I mean.
Really?
The big three.
Let's go.
The next three big quarterbacks in the NFL.
It's a pipeline.
I'm all about it.
Central Michigan and Alabama, the two best quarterback schools in the country, obviously.
You know, unless you look it up, you don't realize how long Cooper Rush has actually been in the league. He's a veteran.
I mean, it's what, 5 years now?
No, like 6 years.
Six?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember him in the Bahamas Bowl.
Started with the Cowboys, was on the Giants for a year during that COVID year, and it was like, oh, man.
Like, I always really liked watching him in Central Michigan.
Nice.
Like, he was the one that he had that Hail Mary.
Was he the little lateral one? Like, the Bahamas Bowl, like. The catch, Hail Mary, lateral.
Yeah, that was him.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Now I...
That was like 2015, though.
Now I feel slightly unsure if that's the other Central Michigan quarterback.
Yeah, that other one.
The other one.
That was like 2015, though, right? I mean, I that would make sense if he was like a two-year starter, and then he got drafted in 2017.
Bahamas Bowl.
These are the important numbers on a Tuesday. Cooper Rush has earned this research.
Also, like... Yeah, it was 2014.
Okay. So maybe before he was the starter there.
No, I don't.
It does feel like a guy that would have been a 4-year starter.
Yeah. How was there no mention of the quarterback? Why would they not.
Not just put a box
in this article?
There?
Why would they. Yeah. Like,
was it not Central Michigan, Western Kentucky?
No, it was.
Okay. Let's do like
the final play would be a 45-yard Hail Mary from QB Cooper Rush. Yes. Thank you.
Okay, there we go.
But Central Michigan.
Good memory.
Also had a Hail Mary against Oklahoma State, right?
I don't remember that one.
And it was like definitely controversy, like controversial.
Yeah, Cooper Rush, 493 yards in that game.
We should have all known.
We should have known.
Which there's no, by the way, there's no bowl game I want to go to more than the Bahamas Bowl.
Oh, absolutely.
Like there's a really good Reddit thread about the Bahamas Bowl, and everything about it just seems hilarious.
Oh,
but
I mean,
yeah, no, Cooper Rush was also the quarterback for Central Michigan's upset over Oklahoma State via Hail Mary.
Okay.
So you should have known all along. This guy's got the magic.
Well, now we know if it comes down to a Hail Mary, this guy's got two of them in his arsenal. He's going to be comfortable.
Has he used up his lifetime Hail Mary supply?
That's also a good point. He could be out of magic.
Sam, I see you shaking your head no.
But he didn't need the magic. He didn't need the magic.
Cooper Rush is magic.
Got magic in my hands and spirit in my fingers. What is that? Is that the Mayhem commercial? The mascot driving in late?
Maybe.
He says something like that. I got something in my something and spirit in my fingers, and I find myself saying it all the time, I guess. I think I'd remember, though.
Even though there's no quarterback controversy, do you think Dak over there with his headset ever gets a little bit nervous?
That like that Mark Phillips like video. The
Yeah.
You know, he's good for like backup. Good for a backup.
The other team's like, we've needed this. We need this guy. Where was this guy?
Yeah, he's good for backup QB though. Yeah, I'll be back soon.
Yeah.
I mean, said like Dak could play next week.
There's no way.
Probably because he's a little nervous about Cooper Rush taking his spot over.
Dak's getting worried because old man Jerry Jones is you know, in between his visits down to the old prostitute streets down in Dallas. In between those visits, he's sitting there like, oh, Cooper Rush, yes, give me him. I want more Cooper Rush. Got to get out there before it's...
Until I see Cooper Rush lose, I kind of want to ride it out the wave, you know?
What if he doesn't?
Exactly. Like, what if he doesn't? And we've just benched the best quarterback of all time.
I at the same time, though, I want Cooper Kupp. I mean, not Cooper Kupp. Cooper Rush. Uh-oh. I want Cooper Rush to retire undefeated.
That would be cool. Yeah. I mean, he's not going to start when Dak's back.
Like,
so.
I want him to get, like, 3, 4, maybe 5 more starts in the next, like, 5 years in his NFL career. And I just want him to go,
just call it quits.
Be done in, like, 7 more years at like, a record of 8-0.
There's still a very high chance of that. And that would be really big for him. Either way, he's still going to be a Cowboys legend for keeping this season afloat.
I told you you were going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know, don't yeah me. Yeah. You were the one that was all worried.
After week one,
I had to be optimistic
Cowboys.
For your team. I despise the Cowboys.
I appreciate your optimism because I didn't have any after that first game. I'm still scared because, I mean, I'm not going to go in and throw in the, we're winning the Super Bowl. We're going to make the playoffs. I think we'll be fine, though. Looks like our defense is pretty cool. Defense was good.
I forgot. Yeah, this Cooper Rush Hail Mary to beat Oklahoma State was because of an official error.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah,
a misinterpreted rule extended the game when it should have been over, and it allowed the Chippewas to score.
Yeah, people were very upset about that one.
I mean,
Mike Gundy was not.
So they tried to kill the final 4 seconds of the game by throwing the ball away on fourth down, but they were penalized for intentional grounding, which is the loss of down penalty. Rules state that the game cannot end on an accepted live ball penalty, but turns out that there's an exception to the rule. If the enforcement of the foul involves a loss of down, then that brings the game to an end. So, yeah, I mean, so Oklahoma State did just kind of like get screwed there. How'd the rest of that season turn out?
Good for Cooper Rush. I'm pretty sure they went on a huge win streak after that game.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure.
They were in the hunt, but that one loss to Central Michigan was just sitting on their schedule.
Sam, how are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
What you got going on?
Got my phone fixed yesterday. Had a long day at the mall, but hey, it worked out. Got a new screen in there.
What was the total time that it took?
I would say it probably took a good like 4.5 hours. I mean, wow. I went to the mall after the show and I left. I think I got home at like.
So you waited there the entire time?
Like 4:45.
Wow.
Yeah, I waited there the whole time. I mean, I.
Brutal.
I walked in there. I should have made an appointment yesterday when I had the broken phone on my laptop, but, you know, that would have been way too smart of me. Mm. Went to the mall. They told me it was like an hour wait, so I wasn't going to go home, drive 30 minutes, and then come back and have my phone ready. So I sat there, started watching the Tennessee-Florida game again, just reminisced. And then they told me it would take like another hour and a half, and I was like, oh, I'm already out here. So went and got something to eat in the food court, sat on my laptop, people watched a little bit. It was a pretty boring afternoon, but got out of there with a phone, so I'm not too bad.
Good experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I love a good mall food court.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Like, there's one of my passions, even, I'd call it, is just eating samples at mall food courts.
Well, they've taken those away.
There's still some.
The last time I went, they're not there.
If you give someone like a lingering side eye too,
I think it's
depending on the restaurant, they'll give you one.
Well, I think it's like because of COVID, they stopped doing them, and now they're just like, why did we keep giving away free samples? This establishment's been here for 10 years. People know us by this point.
No, I think there's still like four. The last time I was there, what? Like a month or two ago, that give away free samples.
I didn't see any, and there was very.
There were two restaurants that were giving away free samples.
Oh, okay.
They don't always stand in front either, though. But sometimes you have to sell a little bit.
Yeah.
Like if you
got to have the body language.
If you pause, if you give it a brief pause and like a slight head tilt and like a when you look at their menu, oh come here, try every time,
and then you leave.
Just a little glance. And then you walk by and you're just like,
I mean, I try it and I give them a thumbs up and I say, yeah, that's good. Good job.
I'll know for next time. I might order.
It's 3 p.m. Like, did you think I was going to eat lunch? No, I just want you to give me free food.
Dang. Now that they're back, I might have to go back myself.
Is Costco back to giving samples, by the way? Do we know?
Yeah, Costco's been back to giving samples for a while now, I think.
I mean, I don't know. I don't go to Costco. But, like, I might if they're giving away. Like, that's actually, you get a Costco membership, you just eat lunch every day at Costco with free samples.
You can eat lunch at Costco without a membership. You can just walk in there and go get food.
No, and I'm talking like you just eat the free samples. Like I feel like if there's like four free samples out there, that's filling enough for a meal.
You could probably walk in there without the membership and just say, hey, I'm going to go get a hot dog, and then just walk around the store and go get free samples and then leave.
I mean, I feel like if I just...
Do you have to buy something to get the samples, or what's the, like,
no.
the deal? You no. just I mean, walk just, in and get it?
You're paying for a Costco membership.
Yeah, so. Those people are way too nice to be denying you a...
And like, it could be the grossest food in the world, but it just tastes good when it's free and it's a sample.
But what if it's good? You know, sometimes they're really good.
So do they check your membership card at the door or something? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Have you like never been to like a Costco or like a Sam's Club?
I've been to Sam's and I know they do that, but I didn't. I thought Costco was a little bit different.
I mean, it's just better.
Okay.
Yeah. Just significantly better.
So if you don't have a membership, you're not shopping at Costco.
No.
Okay. Interesting.
Cost Company.
Gotcha.
Is that what it stands for? Cost Company? I hope so.
Maybe.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. There's not a chance it could. In the world.
It could.
Oh, man. Well, it's a good day.
How you doing, Charlie?
I'm doing good. I just, my voice is back. The energy is, you can just feel it in the air. I mean, we're sitting here with the number 8 football team in the country. Life is good. The weather's good. I played some golf yesterday.
How'd we play?
92. Not
okay.
Terrible.
Almost breaking 90.
Yeah, it was a better front than back. But it was a beautiful day. But yeah, I mean, life's good. Listen to some Quinn 82 on the way in here, too. Just really bumped. Got me feeling good. I don't know why, but I just love me some Quinn 82. So it's a good day. Good day all around. And got some interesting Vols football news yesterday. So we'll come back on the other side and break that down. Stay with us right here on The Blitz. Back here on The Blitz, and I know we said we had some important Tennessee football news to get to, and certainly we will, but we have a call right now on the Big Orange Philly phone lines. We're going to go ahead, open up the phone lines, and take a call. I believe Sam said he didn't quite hear your name. So one more time, just who are we talking to today on the Big Orange Philly phone lines?
Wow. Someone didn't recognize my name. Y'all need to do a little more research on the other shows on this network. This is Westchester.
Oh, Westchester. Okay. That's what he said. He thought he heard West, and I was like, it was probably Westchester, but then I didn't want to say Westchester, and it wasn't Westchester. So, Westchester, no. Good to hear from you this morning.
Hey, guys, I got to run in here and go to work real quick, but I got a quick Costco hack for you. I got a Christmas gift from my sister-in-law and I guess my brother, too. I mean, his name was on it. We all know who bought it. But it was like this really nice jacket they got at Costco that was like $50, and surprise, surprise, it was too small for me because no one in my family wants to bet how fat I am. So they always buy me small clothes. I have to return them. So she gave me the receipt, right? I go into Costco, and they're like, okay, well, since you don't have the credit card because of the gift, here's a $50 gift card with, like, and some change or whatever. I got two cases of beer or rotisserie chicken and ate every sample in the store. So, yeah, all without a membership. There are ways around the system.
So we just need to – okay, so – We need someone to buy us something cheap from Costco, then we get the receipt and return it, and then just consistently just keep using the gift card to buy a new item and returning it over and over again.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to work every day. I think they're going to catch on to it eventually.
But, like, if you space it out.
Right. You'd have to space it.
All right.
It's doable.
I think I might try that.
This is big news.
That's huge. I appreciate the development that you've brought to our attention.
Before I get out of here, go ahead and bet the mortgage on Tennessee to cover by week. I think we got it.
Got it. I think we'll stay undefeated.
Guys, have a good show. Thanks for what you do for us. We appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you, Westchester. It's good to hear from you.
Bye.
Man, nothing like a little Costco to start a Tuesday.
That's a good little hack. Oh, and what a time that is. Walk around, you get two cases of beer, some rotisserie chicken, and some samples. That's a good day.
That's a really good day.
That's a good haul.
You're not spending much money. Those rotisserie chickens are like $4.
That's huge.
It's every man's dream.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Oh, that's America right there. Two cases of beer, a rotisserie chicken, and some free samples.
Hopefully Costco's not listening this morning.
I hope they are.
I mean, they should
get ready for me because I'm coming.
Keep them on notice.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, some Tennessee football news. Well, game time has been announced for Tennessee LSU, and to everyone's surprise, well, you're not going to play in Death Valley under the lights. It's not going to be a night game. Also not going to be an afternoon 3:30 game. Tennessee and LSU at noon. Just, I mean, truly a shocker. But... For some reason, Auburn and Georgia, they got the 3:30 CBS game. It's actually a doubleheader that day, so A&M Alabama gets the nightcap. And then South Carolina, Kentucky got like the SEC Network night game, and you got noon on ESPN. So I think that, well, first of all, if you're a fan, it's 11 a.m. Central time too, 11 a.m. local time.
Yes.
Is that what you're going to say?
No, I was going to say technically it is the better primetime slot considering like being on ESPN1.
Right.
It's just not the primetime time. But it is on like, you know, it is – I feel like those ESPN12 games are considered like a higher standstill than the 7:30 SEC Network
game. Yeah, they
are. Yeah.
They are. I misspoke there. But, yeah, I guess – like I guess that would – we're in the spot that would typically be – like the ESPN SEC night game, I think. But because CBS has that doubleheader, instead it's, you know, ESPN's first choice is a noon game. And I guess that's just what happened.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're I get it too, like you have to space out your programming some. And I imagine that that CBS has their eyes on Tennessee for, you know, Alabama too.
Yeah.
I imagine that they want to come to Knoxville and make that the 3:30 CBS game of the week.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's not much else. You have Kentucky, Mississippi State is like the second most intriguing, or like LSU, Florida that week. So I think you're probably locked in to be the SEC game of the week that week. So you can't have like three consecutive CBS games if you're Tennessee. That's just not feasible. But immediate reactions to Tennessee, LSU at noon, 11 a.m. local time. Sam, as someone that's going to the game, how did you feel?
Well, I wanted to be able to witness that stadium at night. You know, selfishly, I wish it was a night game, but for the betterment of our team, I think it's a wonderful thing. Like, that place at 11 a.m. instead of 7 p.m. is a drastic difference, and like, could be like a winning versus losing difference, honestly, in my eyes. So I'm happy for the team, but for a man who wanted to see Tiger Stadium at night, I'm a little disappointed. But hey, I want to go five. I want to be 5-0 going into Alabama. So I'm for it. I'm for it.
If you could just get to 5-0 going into Alabama, that sets up like what could be one of the more fun weeks that we've had here in Knoxville in a very long time.
A long time.
But yeah, I mean, I think for the fans, kind of sucks. Kind of sucks that you're just, you know, you haven't been here in pretty much like a decade, right? Since Dooley and the Too Many Men on the Field.
Yeah, 2010.
So 12 years, you know, you've been waiting for another opportunity to go to LSU. And
that was a CBS 330 game.
It kind of sucks like you don't get to go experience Death Valley at its peak. But I think you'd much rather experience a win. And playing at noon, well, that gives you a significantly better chance to win a football game. You know, the fact of the matter is, 11 a.m. local time, like, it'll be a struggle to get everyone in the stadium for kickoff. And the way that Tennessee starts football games, I mean, you could have people showing up and finally settling into their seats, you know, smelling like corn dogs and nursing a hangover, and the LSU Tigers are down a couple scores. You know, that you can take the crowd out of the game with an early start like this before they're even in the game. So I think it really does provide that extra juice. But then, you know, that your fan base that has traveled down there to go to that game, they're going to be there on time because that's, you know, you don't put in the effort to get to Baton Rouge too. So I think that's like an extra element. But like, go back and look at that Auburn-Tennessee game under Jeremy Pruitt, his only ranked road win. That was a noon game. It was 11 a.m. local time. And that stadium didn't really fill all the way in until like halfway through the first quarter. And, you know, it was just a completely different environment. Like, it's just – it's hard to get that the same intensity that early in the day. So it's a big win for Tennessee at the end of the day to get that game, you know, early. And I'm going to be glad myself – just to get that out of the way early so I don't have to spend an entire day stressed out either. I was a little disappointed from like a fan perspective. I can't go anymore. I had a flight that like wouldn't even get me there for kickoff because it kept getting pushed back. So like I needed a night game to be able to make that trip. So I have to refund a flight now. But I think ultimately this is a win for Tennessee.
Yeah, I think it's a win for the football team in that you don't have to experience what could be a tougher environment at night, as you already mentioned. I mean, it's one of the tougher environments in football, something you haven't experienced as a team yet. This group, none of them have ever really played at LSU Stadium unless a few, you know, transfers have that I don't know of. But it's a different experience at night. It is weird because it will be Tennessee's earliest game they've played this season. They haven't even played a noon game yet, but now you got to play 11 a.m. local time. So it does create a bit of a difference there. It will be your first time playing that early. I don't know if LSU has played that early yet. I imagine they have. I think that Southern game was a noon game. So that'll be a little bit different. But, you know, coming off the bye week, you should be pretty well rested enough to be up and active and ready to go. But, yeah, for the fans, obviously a little bit brutal. LSU fans, obviously not pleased. I mean, a lot of people that are going to be making the travel from Knoxville to Baton Rouge in specific, you included, it just makes it a little bit more complicated. You can't go down the day of. You're going to have to, you know, be there. You're going to have to be there Friday night to get ready to get up early and go to this game. And it's not very close, but it is still, you know, going to be a fun experience. Noon games are still cool. They're still fun. And the way you look at this game, you know, it's going to be a top 10 Tennessee team still against what I imagine will be still an unranked LSU team. So it's really, I mean, and it's not your classic SEC rivalry. I feel like, you know, when CBS went to pick their game, they said, oh, Georgia and Auburn, that's a fun rivalry.
I mean,
that's there's a
rivalry
lot of
in the
history.
South, right? Yeah, that's what they call it.
Yeah, so much history in that matchup. Why? How can we not, like, although Tennessee LSU is fun, it's like they do pick a lot of their games based on historic rivalries, and that's what we've seen in the past. You know, when Tennessee's been an unranked team, when they get the CBS 330 game, a lot of times it is that Alabama game because there's so much history to that rivalry. So you can kind of take that and like, yeah, this is a Tennessee LSU game that hasn't really happened too much over the last 10 years, even though it's going to start becoming hopefully more of a fixture on the schedule.
I'm trying to think, is there any way that LSU ends up like ranked by the time we're playing them?
Who do they play this week?
Auburn. It's like more than likely they'll be 4-1. When you look at the AP poll and the others receiving votes in front of them, Kansas, Cincinnati, Florida, Washington State, Syracuse, Oregon State, Texas Tech, and North Carolina. But LSU right there in the others receiving votes, I don't know. Maybe you see someone, you know, you see them find their way in.
They do have 7 votes.
Don't know if there's a lot of, like, ranked teams that are going to move out of the way this week. I mean, you look.
You would need a lot of people to lose in front of you, and then you'd have to have a pretty commanding win over Auburn.
I mean, Kansas State at 25 is a 7-point favorite at home. Utah at 12, they won't fall out. Like, Arkansas is going to have to play Alabama this week, and they're already 20th. You know, that could open up a spot. Maybe Oklahoma State beats Baylor, it opens up a spot. 22 Wake Forest, 23 Florida State play. You know, that the loser of that game presumably drops out of the top 25. And Mississippi State is a favorite against A&M at home. That, you know, a win there could potentially drop them out.
Arkansas could drop off.
Yeah, so like you could have, I think.
But you also have like a Kansas and, you know, maybe and Florida still ahead of you.
Three or four spots that could open up. Kansas would most definitely take one of those spots. I think Syracuse would maybe take one of those spots too. But I could see LSU taking one of those spots and jumping some of those other teams in front of them, just because, you know, unfortunately that's kind of the way the AP poll works. You just see a team with a name brand, the quality of the name LSU, and you see a 4-1 record and you go, oh yeah, sure, I'll put a 24 next to them. But then again, I mean, in my top 25, if I were an AP poll voter, I have LSU at 23 right now. So we'll see. Either way, it's going to be a good LSU team, but very glad that is a noon game. And Tennessee right now, my 4.5-point favorite on FanDuel. See, you know, how that goes up and down either way. You know, is obviously LSU plays this week, and you know, we have, what, like 12 days until that game kicks off. I think you'll probably see some decent line movement there, but Tennessee an early favorite, and a game on the road at noon is a win. Absolutely. Absolutely. Noon games on the road. Little sleepy nooners. Always a win. But we're off and rolling. We're here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hey, I want to remind you as well, ditch the beer belly bloat this football season. Make the switch to White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted with a blend. Seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base with just a hint of fruit flavor. There are 100 calories, only 1 gram of sugar, and they contain 5% alcohol. White Claws, it's the move that you need to make. Available in many deliciously refreshing flavors. Please drink responsibly. Sam, send us to break. We'll hit some grades for the Tennessee football team as they enter the bye week 1/3 of the way through the season. Back here on the Blitz. Hey, the Big Orange Philly phone lines are open, 865-546-8200. That's your number to call in. Again, 865-546-8200. Big Orange Philly, 6625 Maynardville Pike and Halls. They got some delicious food. They got some great vibes. They got a fantastic environment. It's a must visit anytime you're in Knoxville. And if you're living in Knoxville, hey, pop over there for, you know, a quick lunch break, maybe some dinner after work. It's a good spot, you know, on the weeknights, just meet up with some friends and enjoy a nice meal. And on the weekends, they have pool, darts, karaoke, live music. You can check out their full menu at bigorangephillies.com. And if you're in a hurry, can't make it out there, well, they deliver via Grubhub as well. Big Orange Phillies. But as I said earlier this morning, Tennessee has made it a third of the way through their season, and I'd say ultimately a pretty successful opening third. You know, you are 4-0 and ranked number 8 in the country after starting the season unranked. I can't imagine really you know, a better way to start out that you know, first third of the season. That being said, though, kind of want to just evaluate this team in a general sense and, you know, grade this team out a little bit, some letter grades.
Okay.
So we'll start on the defensive side of the ball. Andy, we can give, you know, three at once. Your grade for the secondary, your grade for your defensive line, and your grade for the linebackers.
Okay. Is this just are we grading it just in terms of like what are the metrics based on how well they've either exceeded or expectations, or just in terms of what the rest of the nation SEC is doing?
Just
a general grade.
Just like
no,
your grade right. For them.
Okay.
Would you like me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
To help. Okay. Well, I think the secondary right now gets a firm like D. Like a strong, solid D, maybe D. I'll give them a D plus because they have at least created some turnovers. You know, I don't think it's been a very good unit. I think we all know that. I think we knew that coming into the year. I think that they're just kind of slow, really, to make their reads and pass things off, and just, you know, it doesn't really. I don't know if they process things as quickly as maybe you'd like them to. But again, they've been opportunistic. They've created some turnovers and. Again, just not a very good unit. So I'll give the secondary a D plus. For the defensive line, I give that group like an A minus, really. Maybe like a B plus. I think that unit's been really good. I'd say B plus is where I'll have them, just because I'd like to see them, you know, do a little bit better of a job, I guess, blitzing for contain and just generating a pass rush without having to blitz. As well, I think he could do a better job of that. But in terms of their run fits, very, very good. You know, a very disciplined team as well. I think they're consistently, you know, getting in the right place. And you've seen some guys get dug out. You know, you've seen some guys kind of get washed down and pushed, driven out a little bit more by Pitt and by Florida, two experienced good offensive lines. But that's going to happen sometimes. I think overall this unit has been the best unit defensively, and I'm pretty pleased with him. As for the linebackers, well, that's a C for me. Maybe a C+. Your middle linebackers, Jeremy Banks, Juwan Mitchell. Actually, yeah, no, it's just straight C, no C+. They've done a good job in the run game. I think sometimes their run fits aren't great. I think sometimes Banks especially, you can catch him being a little undisciplined and like trying to shoot a gap, and he ends up shooting the wrong gap. And it kind of opens up a hole. You know, I think sometimes he needs to flow a little bit more. But I think both of those guys, Aaron Beasley as well, have been good against the run. But when it comes to the middle of the field, protecting the middle of the field, zone defense, man coverage, whatever, pass coverage in general, that group has struggled. You know, again, I think they just seem slow to pass things off to each other. Like, they're not closing ground quick enough. I think they're just leaving too much space between them and the corners, them and the safeties. And then I think your outside backers, too, with DJ Irons 2 weeks ago against Akron, and then in last week with Anthony Richardson as well, I don't think they did a good enough job containing. Time and time again, like you had a backer coming off the edge on either side, and Anthony Richardson would try to get outside of him, and for some reason, they just never, ever attacked the outside shoulder of Anthony Richardson. Like, they always ran straight at him, and he just was able to, like, throw a little stiff arm or, you know, do a little scamper and just barely get outside of him. And when you're playing as a rushing quarterback like that, a quarterback with the threat to run, like, you have to just always run at their outside shoulder, the outside part of their body, and just keep everything inside of you. So, like, I think some execution there has been kind of iffy. So secondary, D+, defensive line, B+, linebackers, C.
Okay, yeah, I think you did a good job tearing those out. I think you're correct in which group has the highest, which group has the lowest. Secondary, obviously, the one that you're wanting to see more improvement following that first third of the season. I'll go a little bit more positive. I'll give them just a C. You know, they've created a few turnovers. I'm fine with that. Tackling in open space, that was an issue against Florida in a lot of instances.
Yeah, that one touchdown.
Yeah, that one
got bowled over.
That was tough. So obviously, yeah, you'd like to see a little bit better things. The tackling department, a couple of lost coverages. You know, you just like to see a bit more. We've seen good flashes from Trayvon Flowers and Jalen McCullough, and then you've seen Tamarion McDonald have good games. I don't know if he didn't have too much of his best game against Florida, but, you know, you see some flashes from a lot of these guys, and I think it's going to be a consistent buildup. But right now, yeah, you're not seeing that elite-level secondary that you expect from a team in the top 10, so I think that you're going to hopefully see some more of that growth. But right now, yeah, for me, they're a C. Linebacker group, just to go from top to bottom, I give them a little bit better than what you. I'll give them a C plus, maybe a B, maybe they get in the B minus range.
You're just a little nicer than me, I think.
Yeah, I'm just being a little nicer. I think Aaron Beasley's had a great start to the season. I mean, yeah, there's some pass coverage things that maybe you just don't notice on the surface level that maybe I'm just not taking into account as much. But I think he's done a really good job. Really aggressive. I think it is a very aggressive linebacker group. Juwan Mitchell. Still getting back in the mix. I thought he laid some pretty good hits on Saturday. Now, there were a lot of times hits that were already first down, so hard to kind of be like, that's a huge positive. But, you know, it's good to see him back in the mix. I thought Jimmy Banks played really well against Florida on Saturday. He's been active in terms of forcing fumbles, diving on balls as well. So I like the potential that's there with that group. I think they've stepped up in a couple of ways in a couple of games. But like we said, star of the defense so far have been the men up front. Amari Thomas was amazing in that game against Florida. Would like to see a little bit more pressure from the edges. I know we've talked about that. You want to see them get a couple of more quicker pressures, a couple more sacks, be a little bit better in their pursuit. But the run defense has been really good. I mean, limiting backs. I know we talked about a Bonacana. You take out that big long run, and really it's one of the better run defenses, if not in the SEC, if not in the nation so far statistically. And it already is up there. So I think they've done a really good job against opposing backs. They've made it really difficult on a lot of situations for the quarterback. I mean, Anthony Richardson still got his yards here and there, but it wasn't his 100-plus yard day that he can have on a day-to-day basis. So I think they've done a really good job of that and making it difficult up front for a group that you knew had a lot of depth coming into this year. But there's been a lot of names who've been really impressive, especially some of those guys up in the middle. Like Karat Garland has been really sturdy as well. So these are just like kind of things that, you know, you were expecting to have this depth, but it's really nice to see that and to see that group step up. So I have them at an A. They've been really good so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, our scales were just a little bit more or less strict, but
we were correct in terms of where you have.
Right. We're on the same page.
If you want me
there.
To do offense first, I can, so I'm not just like.
I think we might save offense for tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Start with a little defense.
We'll start with the defense. We'll start with the negative, and tomorrow will be a little bit more positive. But
I will say, though, like what Tim Banks does with this group year in and year out, like last year, you didn't even expect this defense to create as many turnovers as they did. And as many tackles behind the line of scrimmage, what he continues to do with these defensive units that he's had in the first 2 years is pretty remarkable, considering where they were when this group came in.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I think the defensive coaching, I think, has been really good. I think that they're doing the best they can with a roster that's somewhat limited. You know, it's not the most versatile roster in the world defensively yet as you continue to build that roster. So I think what Tim Banks is doing is excellent. The defensive coaching, very good. I am interested to see, you know, what the pass rush looks like when schematically they're a little bit more free. Because against Ball State, you know, you never really got the opportunity to generate a lot of pass rush. Everything was three-step drop. And offensive linemen cutting at the line of scrimmage. And then against Pitt the following week, you really started to generate some pressure. And that's when you had, you know, both Slovis and Nick Patty a little bit more stationary. You know, they had to be in the pocket. And when you're worried less about that run threat and you're worried more about rushing the passer, they got after a little bit. But then unfortunately, DJ Irons the next week, You know, a rushing quarterback, you got a blitz for contain. Anthony Richardson last week, you got a blitz for contain. And then Jaden Daniels again this week. And Bryce Young the next week. Like, it's just, I don't think this defensive line is necessarily built to still be able to generate a pass rush when they're also having to worry about the run threat yet. I just don't know if you have the athletes all around the board, across the board to do that. But, you know, when you're playing a more traditional quarterback, I still think they'll be able to generate some pressure. But, all right, there's me and Andy's defensive grade. Sam, we'll let you round out the hour with yours. On the other side, I mean. Yeah.
On the other side?
On the other side.
Make on the other wait. Side.
Make.
Man, what a song.
What is it? I don't know if I've heard this bumper.
This is death metal smooth criminal right here.
It's really
I think
aggressive.
I've heard this one before. This one's been played. Like,
I feel like you don't mix
twice.
Things up coming back in as much as I thought you would. There's a lot in there that's untapped that you just haven't really hit.
That's probably why.
You kind of let me down, honestly. You don't play as much country as I thought you would either.
I try to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. Can't be all country.
No, but a little bit more. You know, I love it when you give me that juicy juice, though. Always do. Anyway, we got about 3 minutes left, Sam. Your time to shine, brother.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, give me your greats.
Okay, we'll start off with the secondary. I don't think I wanna dip into the D's and the D minus range. I think I'm gonna go with a solid C minus. You know, they've been
y'all are too nice.
I mean,
D is pretty harsh though. That's like
yeah. Well, the only thing that's
it is a top
10
team
is the interceptions and. The Jalen McCullough and Trayvon Flowers run fits. Like, those are the only things that
that's what I
have a plus
towards.
Next to the D.
Yeah.
I think McCullough and Flowers is a good duo there. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely is, like, the key weakness to our team. But I would say we're like a 71. Like, if I had to give, like, a number to it, I'd say we're like a 71. Like, we're barely passing, but you're kind of, like, you're just kind of there. Linebackers... Yeah, that's like a C, I think. That's like a 76, 77 type grade, I think. They're doing all right. Like, I like having Juwan Mitchell back. I like having, you know, it's just good to have some more depth in there where you got Beasley, you got Banks, you got Juwan Mitchell. I think it's good to get them back and kind of have a group that you can rely on where you're not really solely only looking on two people there. And I think that D line is looking great. I would say they're into the I don't think they're in the A. I would say they're B plus. I'd say in there like the upper 80s. Like 85-ish, 87 range, I think.
So secondary C minus.
I love the number grades.
Yeah, I think number grades are a little easier grades. Than like cuz it's they just are. A broad range, you yeah. know? Like
so C minus for the defense or for the secondary. And you said C plus for the linebackers or B minus?
C plus.
And then B plus for the defensive line?
Yeah.
It's fair enough. I was trying to think of it. When you started bringing up numbers, I was like, man, if we had NCAA like 23 right now and this roster was in the game, what would players be rated? Like,
it's a great question.
I think if you looked at the secondary, I think you'd probably peak with like Trayvon Flowers at like an 83. Maybe Jalen McCullough at like a 79. Then I think all your corners would be in like the 72 to 76 range.
Yeah, I think
overall
that's fair.
Wise, which is not great, but they could make some plays. I think like Jeremy Banks would probably be like an 84 and like Juwan Mitchell like an 81. I think your defensive line would all just be a bunch of like low 80 guys. That
who would be the guys with the star around them?
Cedric Tillman. Oh,
well,
defensively?
Well, yeah, defensively.
Maybe just Banks.
Banks and like. Byron Young, maybe, or Tyler Barron.
Yeah, actually, well, maybe Byron Young.
Thomas. I feel like you could put
Amari
a star
Big
on,
o.
on some of those. D
I feel like Big O just doesn't get the recognition necessarily that he deserves nationally.
I agree.
True.
Kenny Chandler was talking about him in an interview.
Oh, yeah, they're good friends.
Yeah, Kenny Chandler was talking about the Vols, hyping him up in an interview Memphis Grizzlies beat writers. He talked about his friendship with Jabari Small and Big O.
Yeah.
A bunch of Briarcrest boys.
Oh, yeah. Representing.
Also said that Hendon Hooker, he said, he got to know him, and he's like, man, nobody watches more film than that guy. That guy watches so much film.
That's awesome.
That was good to hear.
That's great to hear.
I will say, kind of related thought to get us out of this hour. Saturday, Hendon Hooker quieted any and all doubts. Like, yeah, the offense didn't look smooth for 3 weeks, and he admitted that. He was open about that. But Saturday, to me, was the very best we've ever seen Hendon Hooker in terms of his ability to operate an offense. I'm not sure if he missed a read the entirety of the day. He created. He was excellent, you know, with his escapability, with using his legs, which I think if you get him on some design runs early, it really helps him settle into a game, which is important. That was something we talked about last week.
You were right about that. You were right.
But in terms of just his decision-making, his processing, the way that he just carved up the Florida defense, the way that, you know, I think it was like most noticeable on the Jabari small little wheel route for a touchdown, the way that he was just able to work first read, second read, third read, boom, there's Jabari Small. The way that he just went through everything so quickly, you could just see it. It was just clicking for him on an entirely new level. And I think a lot of that's probably his preparation too, but man, that was I feel so much better about Hendon Hooker right now in this offense. Complete confidence.
There was a lot of moments where you're like, all right, that was special. That was a pretty special play. And it was like, it's very refreshing because there were several times where there was a wide open receiver. And there are times where that happens. You're like, oh, look at him. Like, you can obviously see it because you see the whole field out in front of you from the stands. But there's so many times where you have a quarterback and they don't see that. I mean, Hendon Hooker didn't miss an open man once. If you were open, it went right.
He knows exactly right where to go with the football.
That
was
cool.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, hour one done. Hour two on deck. Stay with us here on The Blitz.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an automobile accident, you deserve the best. With over 20 years' experience,